The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Psalm 69, verses 13 to 18. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today we are continuing our study on Psalm 69. Throughout his life, our Saviour, although true God, proved himself to be a true man. To his disciples, he was always the leader, the master, the teacher. And yet they saw in him the man Christ Jesus. However, he was also the perfect man. And as a perfect man, he set before them the example of a perfect life. Jesus showed this particularly in his relation to God the Father. Of this intimate relationship between the Father and himself, Jesus never lost sight. Very often his disciples found their master in prayer and communion with the Father. It is no wonder then that in this prophetic psalm our attention is now directed to one of these prayers. The Saviour pleads with his Heavenly Father for ultimate deliverance and complete vindication. May God grant us grace that we learn more fully to appreciate this wonderful, sweet-smelling sacrifice of prayer as we now consider the supplication of the suffering Saviour. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, we begin with a brief overview of our text. In our text today, we have an interlude of prayer. The description of the Messiah's suffering is interrupted by a prayer for deliverance that echoes and expands upon his opening prayer. The prayer today emphasises 3 points. The greatness of his affliction, the bitter hatred of his enemies, and finally, the goodness and mercy of God, which is the basis for his prayer. So let us listen to this prayer again. My prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. So secondly, we note that the supplication of the suffering Saviour is addressed to God the Father. Our text begins, But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. The Saviour addresses himself to the Lord God Jehovah, a name that refers to the covenant God. He does this because he is certain that the covenant God will keep his promises. The eternal God has made a covenant with his people time and time again. In this covenant, God had pledged an oath, the redemption of his people. And in this plan of redemption, Christ's sacrificial offering was to be the means of executing the covenant and saving his people. This is a mercy which God promised to show to his people, and for the suffering Messiah's sake, he would forgive their trespasses. Trusting in this specific mercy, such great patriarchs as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and such illustrious Old Testament characters as David, Solomon, and Daniel, confidently approached the mercy seat of God and received a favourable answer to their devout prayers. And the Saviour adds to this the phrase, in the truth of your salvation. God is truth. His promises are sure. He has never failed and cannot fail to keep all of his promises. Therefore, the Saviour, the more confidently, supplicates God for a complete deliverance from his great suffering and anguish. He prays that he may be delivered from those who hate him, the many people who hated him without a cause. He asks God to pull him out of the mire and out of the deep waters of the anguish of his soul. As we see the Saviour's dreadful pain written in the furrows of his face and in the lines of his holy forehead, with blood trickling down his head and body, from the indescribable and inhumane treatment given to him by the soldiers in the judgment hall of Pilate, we can readily understand how, utterly exhausted, he could find strength and comfort only in knowing that he was carrying out the will of the Father, and that the Father therefore would not and could not forsake him nor leave him. We can readily understand too that when Jesus was hanging upon the cross, forsaken by God, he was, as the psalmist describes him here, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me, and thus cut him off from God forever. But Jesus does not despair. He insists, even as he did in that cry on the cross, my God, my God. And in this prayer he reminds God of the fact that he is his servant, that is, he is carrying out the work which the Lord appointed him to do. In the last two verses of the text, the prayer abounds in expressions which clearly indicate that the Saviour never surrenders his sonship. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. In simple childlike faith, and with firm confidence and assurance, he speaks to God with a conviction which bars all doubt from his prayer. Here then is on record a prayer that shows us how the Saviour prayed in time of greatest need. But what is more, the prayer itself concerns us also. Thirdly, the supplication of the suffering Saviour, it directly concerns us. We must bear in mind that while the Saviour is suffering for us the pangs of hell, from his innermost soul issues forth his most wonderful prayer. The suffering Redeemer prays in our stead and for our sake. He is our substitute. His work is a vicarious atonement, and even the prayers which he offered are offered to make up for our feeble efforts of prayer. On the one hand, we see from the Saviour's prayer his absolute confidence in the promise of God to deliver him, and therefore also, on the other hand, that God could not possibly turn a deaf ear to the earnest supplication of his Son. This means that God would completely vindicate him and accept the sacrifice he was bringing and declare salvation to have been accomplished. It did, however, appear as though God would neither answer his prayer nor vindicate his Son when Christ hung upon the cross. Forsaken by God and men, Jesus was left to die the shameful death upon the tree. His enemies were jubilant. Their taunts and jibes still ringing in his ears, Christ commended his soul to his Father and died. Moreover, Jesus was buried. All seemed lost. His disciples and friends had given up hope. All hell was rejoicing. Sin, death, and the devil apparently had conquered. But we know and are sure that in reality, the very opposite was the case. For a brief time, God had indeed forsaken his beloved Son, but he had claimed him by raising him from the dead. God accepted our high priest's sacrificial offering for the sins of men, received him, and set him on high to reign forever and ever. Just as St. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, his prayer gives us strength and assurance in our daily difficulties, troubles and trials, so that when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, he will most assuredly hear us and grant our requests in accordance with his divine will. For if by faith in Christ's meritorious suffering and death we have received forgiveness, we have become children of God and heirs of eternal life and salvation. And knowing that we are God's beloved children by faith in Christ Jesus, we also know that all things must work together for our eternal good. Therefore we are, and can be, confident also of this, that God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, which means his second coming. So let us close with the words of the hymnist. By virtue of thy wounds we pray, true God and man, be thou our stay, our comfort when we yield our breath, our rescue from eternal death. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.